Today's daf is Erech and Daf Chav Hey. We are holding on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So we were discussing yesterday machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What if a person is makdish their field a steachuza during Yovel? Meaning the halach is when you makdish steachuza, there is a din of geula, but the way that you are goel the field from hegdish is not based on its actual value. One is goel the field from hegdish based on a set value determined by the Torah. So if you're makdish the field during hegdish year itself, we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that it is kad. And you have to give 50 slime to be pod of the field, to be goal of the field. Shmuel says, no, the hekdesh doesn't work. It's simply not kadosh at all. So we're just going to bring a raya, five lines from the bottom, on Chavdal and Amin Beis. Tashema, so says the Gemara, Tashema, velo goal in achar yovel pachos mishana. You can't do geula after Yovel, less than 1 year after Yovel. So Bishlam, Shmuel, lo goal in achar yovel pachos mishana. According to Shmuel, that makes a lot of sense. You can't do geula when you're less than 1 year after Yovel. What does less than 1 year after Yovel mean? It means less than 1 year after Yovel began, when you're still in the Yovel year. There's no din of geula simply because there's no din of hegdish. If you can't be makdish, field, obviously you can't be goel a field. So that's Shmuel fits very nicely. Elul Rav, my achar yovel shana. But according to Rav, what does it mean you can't be goel a field after Yovel 1 year? According to Rav, you could be makdish a field during Yovel and be goel a field. So what's the problem? Mi savrit achar yovel mamish, my achar yovel beemtza yovel. So the Gemara wants to say, no. When we say achar yovel, doesn't mean during yovel year. It means sometime in the middle of the yovel. The kol kamad lo mal yule shana lo migrale. And the way Rav understands this is that you cannot be goel a field, let's say 24 and a half years into yovel. You are not goel cheshbening the half a year that passed beyond the 24. Meaning when you do the cheshbon of a sela and a pundion for each year, it goes by full years. So if 24 full years have passed, you deduct 24 slaim and 24 pundionim from the geula amount, from the amount of the pidyon. But you do not deduct anything extra based on the extra half a year that has passed. That you still have to cheshbon in. So says the Gemara, my kamashma, what's the great chiddush of that? De'in mechashvin chadoshim im hegdish, that you can't count months when dealing with hegdish. Habahedya katani, in mechashvin chadoshim im hegdish, it says before of the Mishnah, that months don't count when dealing with figuring out how to begoel something from Hegdish, that it only goes with years, with full years. So it says Gemara, Matam Ka'amar. Yeah, the Mishnah was just saying, Matam lo goel l'nachar yovel pachs mishana, mishum dein mechashvin chadashim im Hegdish. When we say that ein mechashvin chadashim im Hegdish, that is not a statement of a separate halacha, that is a statement of the reason that ein goel in pachs mishana. So it's really one halacha. The halacha is that you never take months into account when figuring out the exact pidyon amount for any given field. You would always do a sell and a pundyon per full year that has passed. For half years that have passed, you do not deduct anything, says the Gemara Vayter. Ein mechashvin chadashim. So the Mishnah went on to say in the last line of the Mishnah that we're ein mechashvin chadashim lahegdish, but hegdish is mechashiv chadashim. So Tanu Rabbanan, minayin she'ein mechashvin chadashim imahegdish. How do we know that partial years, that just months that have passed by within a year, do not get deducted from the amount of the pidyon from hegdish? And we darshan from there, how do you do the cheshbon based on the remaining years? That you only do it based on years. You do not do it based on months. So that's how we know that it has to be in full year intervals. How do I know that if you want to cheshbon months rather than years, you can? For instance, when you're makdish with half of 48. So what in the world is this talking about? So if you look at Rashi fills us in. Lasus chodesh b'shana lachshov osin chadashim shiyatsu kilu hein shana v'avirav chadidei. How do I know that you can consider the months that have passed as if they are a full year, and that will be to your benefit? Ve'echidami da'akteshob b'palga de memches, di'chashavta l'chadashim, meaning de memches means the 48th year, di'chashavta l'chadashim shiyatsu b'yatsu Yitzir Gemura Havlu Pachs Mishtei Shonim Vein Negelos Begirua. Meaning, it would normally when you say that you would count the months, so it's to your advantage. If I count the months that have passed, that's less money than I'm going to have to pay for the Geula of the field. But in the case where you're in the middle of the 48th year, if I count it as 48 years have passed and there are full 2 years left, so then I could do a pundion and a sell and a pundion for each remaining year. But we said previously that when you're within the last 2 years, there's no pidyon based on cheshbon. The pidyon is always the full 50 shekel kesef. So if you're going to count the months, that will knock you out of the pundion and sell for each year and bring you to the full amount of 50 shekel kesef. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So Tam Lomar, v'chishav la'akoyin mikol makom. That's what the pasuk says, v'chishav la'akoyin mikol makom. That the kohen does the cheshbon mikol makom. Then in that situation, if it's going to be to the benefit of Hegdish, that you want to count the chadashim, and therefore that will make it that you pay the full 50 shekel kesef. So gzanteit, you could do that. That would be, that's included in v'chishav la'akoyin mikol makom. Fine, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hamakdish Sadeu Bishasa Yovel. If a person is Makdish his field at the time of Yovel, time of Yovel doesn't mean during a Yovel year. That was the Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Time of Yovel means during a time in history when we were Noheg Yovel. So these halachas are only during a time in history where Noheg Yovel. If you look at Rashi, Bishasa Yovel, Bizman She Yovel Noheg. Bizman She Ena Yovel Noheg, Podos or Bishavik Sharak. When there's no din of Yovel, you're always poda the field. Even if you're Makdish Stei Achuza, you're poda the field based on what it's actually worth, not based on the predetermined value that the Torah gives to any field. So you do it based on its actual worth. But anyway, our discussion is about during the time that Yovel is Noeg, where all the halachas are in effect. HaMakdish Stei B'Shasa Yovel Nosin B'Zera Chomer Sa'orim Chamishim Shekel Kesef. In an area where you can plant a Chomer Sa'orim for that size field, regardless of how high or low quality the field actually is, you give 50 shekel kesef for the full Yovel cycle value of that field. Let's say there were ditches in that field that were 10 tefachim deep, or there were rocks in the field that were 10 tefachim high. Well, they don't get measured together with the rest of the field. What does that mean? Says Rashi, they do become kadosh. They do belong to Hagdish when you're matish the field, but they are, when you're poda the field, you're not poda based on this special formula that the Torah gives. Rather, you're poda based on what they are actually worth. But the rest of the field, you would go with the magical formulation of the Torah. You wouldn't go with the actual value. So it's considered as if these are viewed separately. These ditches and these high points are viewed separately, and therefore they're niftin separately. You are pulled to them separately. Pachos mikan, but if they're less than 10 tefachim deep or less than 10 tefachim high, nimdad nima, then they just get swallowed in with the rest of the field. Now, this line, even though I translated the way Rashi says it, is subject to a major machlokas rishonim. So first of all, Rashi writes that these slime and nekayim are not measured with the rest of the field, but the din of hektish is chal on them, they're podi b'shavyo. The rest of the field is based on chomer sa'orim. So the Rashbam just adds to what Rashi says, that in Toras Kanim we learn this from Pasuk. The Medrash learns it from Pasuk. V'im mishnas hayovel yakdish sadehu. That if there were nekayim amukim asar tzvachim, slam gvom asar tzvachim, it's not called sadehu. We dashed in from sadehu, that excludes these areas of the field that have deep ditches or high rocks from the general din of pidyon. And he says, don't say that which the Mishnah says, einim dadinima, means that it's not kadosh klal, says the Rashbam. Don't think for a second it means that these areas don't become kadosh, because the Gemara in Bava Basra says explicitly that if a person is makdish a field, it's hikdish as kulo, afilu bor, vegas, even a pit, a watering pit in his field, or a gas, or a wine press, everything's included. So kolshken, if you're makdish a field, the natural crevices of the field are going to become kadosh. So Rashi must be correct, says the Rashbam, that it's not saying that it doesn't become kadosh at all when we say enim dadinima. It definitely becomes kadosh. This is a din in pidyon. How are you poda it from hegdish? Because the raya is clear based on that gemara in Baba Basra that everything is automatically included when a person is makdish a field. That's gemara in Baba Basra. Now the Yad Rama in Baba Basra over there says Einim Dadin Ima means something else. What Einim Dadin Ima means is that these ditches that are 10 tefachim deep and these rocks that are 10 tefachim high don't even require pidyon at all. Meaning, says the Yad Rama, I agree with Rashi. They do become kadosh. But here's where I disagree with Rashi. Rashi says when you're poda them, you're poda b'shavyam. Says the Yad Rama, no, they don't require their own pidyon at all. They become nifteis agav the field, the same way they become kadosh. When you're makdish them, they become kadosh agav the rest of the field. When you're poda the rest of the field, they become niftin agav the rest of the field. But not that they, it's certainly not that they're not kadosh at all, based on the Gemara and Baba Basra, but also not like Rashi says, that they need to be redeemed separately. That's the sheet of the Yad Rama. The Ritva in Maseches Baba Basra writes that really these Nekayim Uslayim that are 10 Tfachim deep and 10 Tfachim high are Kadosh Midin Steachuza. When the Mishnah says they're not measured with the rest of the field, it means that it's considered as if you were Makdish them separately. So the Hekdish of the Nekayim Uslayim are not part of the Hekdish of the field. It counts as a separate din of Hekdish. It's as if you were Makdish the field, and then separately you were makdish the Nekayim and Slayim. And therefore, if you want to be poda one without the other, you have the right to be poda one without the other. But the way the Ritva understands it is that even the Nekayim Uslaim are going to be niftes based on that special formula of the Torah of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. It's not going to be based on Shavius like Rashi says. It's going to be niftes based on the way the rest of the field is niftes, but it can be niftes separate from the rest of the field. That's the whole Chiddush of Einim Dadinima. That's how the Ritva understands. So far, we have Rashi, we have the Yad Rama, the Ritva, three Shitos, one final Shita. The Rambam in Erechin v'Charamin, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam writes that if you have slime gvo masar tefachim, nekayim milayim mayim amukam masar tefachim, einim dadim apachs mikanim dadim lachem mishnas medayik from the Rambam as follows. That the Rambam writes later on in Halacha Yud Dalet, the very next halacha, that if you have slime gvo masar, that if you have places that are namuch asara o yoser, and there's no water, they're measured on their own, and we consider mechashin masharoy lehem. So he says beferish with that when they're not measured with the rest of the field, that we count them separately based on what they are actually worth. But when he spoke about nekayim uslayim that are 10 tefachim deep and full of water, he didn't say you're poda b'fnei atzmam. He just said they're not measured with the rest of the field. So it sounds like the Rambam holds that nekayim uslayim that are 10 tefachim deep and full of water would not require pidyon at all, meaning that there's no kedusha that's chal on it. The Rambam doesn't say it explicitly. Lechemishas medayik that shitas Rambam is that if it's full of water and 10 tefachim deep, it's not even kadosh to begin with. So that's an entirely different shita than anything we've seen. Rashi said it's kadosh, it's just that you pull the bishavio. The Rama, Yad Rama says it's kadosh, it's just that that it's niftes agav the rest of the field. The Ritva says it's kadosh, it's just that it could be niftes bifnei atzma. Now the Rambam says not even kadosh at all. Aye, but the raya that all the Rishonim brought, they all brought a raya that it has to be kadosh, because there's a Gemara in Baba Basra that says if you're makdish a field, you're makdish the bor and the gas and the shovach and everything together with it. So kal v'chomer, you would think that the nekayim uslayim, which are more natural to the field, are automatically nifte, are automatically kadosh together with the field. So the Tiferes Yisrael's matarets that nekayim uslayim is different than bor v'das v'shovach, because a bor and a das, the place where they are, the ground underneath them is Ra'i Lizriya. So that's why they become Kadosh together with the rest of the field. Nekayim Uslayim, the whole kunz is that they're not Ra'i Lizriya. And the whole point of being Makdish the field is you're being Makdish an area that's Ra'i Lizriya. So that's why the Rambam might be able to hold that it doesn't become Kadosh at all. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter now. Hikdish Ashtayim Mishal Hashanah Mufnei Yovel. No sin salu pundi on the Shana. If a person is Makdish his field 2 or 3 years before Yovel. So the redemption is one Selah and one Pudyon per each year remaining. V'mamar hareini nosin dvar shana b'shana. If the person says, you know what, let me do a payment plan. I'm not going to give it all at once. I'll do 1 year at a time. Ein shaman lo. Now we don't listen to him. He says, let me be put in the field. I'll take the field back now and I'll give a Selah and a Pudyon each year as the years go by, instead of paying it all up front. So no, we don't allow him to do that. Elinosin is kulu ke'echad. He has to give everything all at one time. The Melech Shlomo on the Mishnayis is not sure if just like we, if this would also be true of the additional Chomesh. When the Bailim is pulled to the field, he has to add a Chomesh as well. So does the Chomesh also need to be paid in one lump sum, or can he work on the Chomesh on some sort of payment plan, but only the Iker Pidyon needs to be in one lump sum? He's not sure. Echad Bailim ve'echad Kol Adam, both the Bailim and Kol Adam and anybody else is allowed to be put to the field. Mabin Bailim Kol Adam, so what's the difference in Halacha, whether the Bailim is put to the field or whether anybody else is put to the field? So like we just said, Elisha Bailim Nosun Chomesh, ve'Kol Adam ain't Nosun Chomesh. When the Bailim is put to the field, he has to give an extra Chomesh. When anybody else is put to the field, they don't give an extra Chomesh. The Rambam writes that if, let's say, the wife of the person who's Makdish the field, or one of the Yorshim of the person who's Makdish the field tries to be put to the field. So the Rambam writes that it's that Hare Elu Mosifin Chomesh. It's Raman Arachim V'Charamin Perek Dalit Halacha Hey, that they have the same din as the Bailim, in that they would need to be Mosif a Chomesh. The Radvaz over there is not sure. What if a woman is Makdish Shestei Achuza and she's Poda? Does she have to add an extra Chomesh? Or do we say that just like Maiser Sheni, if she's Poda her own Maiser Sheni, she doesn't have to add an extra Chomesh? Maybe being Poda Shestei Achuza, maybe there's such a din that by women there's no din of Hosavas Chomesh, even though normally by Bailim you're always Mosif a Chomesh. And not only that, even if a man's wife is Poda his field for him, she has to add a Chomesh. But maybe if the woman was Makdish and the woman is Poda, just like by Maaser Sheni, there's some sort of exception. So the Radvaz writes that by Maaser Sheni there's a drasha. Ishmi ma'asro, the pasuk says, and we darshan v'lo isha. Over here, you don't have any such drasha. Now, the Birch Sazevach writes over here that even if the woman is poda using her own money, her husband's field, using her own money, she would still have to be Mosif Chomesh, because based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that a woman is poda Maaser Sheni of her husband with his money, so she becomes like a shliach and she does have to add a Chomesh. But if it's with her money that aren't shaykh to the husband, like nixay malug money, she does not have to add a chomesh to be poda his meiser sheni with her money. Based on the drasha, ish mima asro, ish v'loisha, same drasha we just quoted. So that's the din of meiser sheni. But by pidyon of hektashos, where there is no special miyut, it must be, says the Birch Sazevach, that even if the woman's using her own money to be poda her husband's field, she has a din of the husband, she does not have a din. It's ish gufo kind of din. She would have the same din as the husband. She does not have the din of an acher, she does not have the din of an outsider, and therefore she would have to add a chomesh. However, the Shara Melech seems to assume that there is no difference between Maaser Sheni and Arachin. The Sedalachs would be the same. And if by Maaser Sheni a woman doesn't have to add a Chomesh for the Pidyon Maaser Sheni of her husband, by Arachin as well, a woman doesn't have to add a Chomesh for the Pidyon of the Hekdish of the field of her husband. When the Rambam says that a woman needs to add a Chomesh by a Pidyon, that's because he assumes that an Isha that's Poda B'Nichsei Melug is Ki'ilu Poda B'Mamun Baila, that is the same din as using her husband's money. Because by Nichsei Malug, the halacha is the husband gets the peros of Nichsei Malug. So since the husband gets the peros of Nichsei Malug, it is partially his money that she's using. So that's what the Rambam is saying. If she's going to use money that's no geya to him, that's in some way shayich to him, so then she's going to have to add a chomesh. But if somehow she were able to find money that has no shayichus to her husband at all, then, just like by Maaser Sheni, she would not have to add a chomesh. It's just difficult to assume. Some of the Achronim point out, the Maaser Choshev says, difficult. How is it possible to say that the drasha of the Medrash and Taurus Kahanim, that an isha is poda b'nichsei malug shela, is referring to a woman being poda b'nichsei malug shela? Kol ma shahabal ochel peros b'nichsei malug. The whole concept that the husband eats the peros b'nichsei malug is only a din midrabanan. Milan. So to say that we're using a drasha to tell me about a woman using the Nichsei Milug, even though the husband is Ochel Peros, or when the husband is Ochel Peros from it, that it's going to be called the money of the husband, is that doesn't make any sense. It's all a din midrabana, not a din midaraisa. Okay, anyway, let's see the Gemara. So now we have, again, the Mishnah just said the very basic halacha of being poda field, namely that two parts of the Mishnah. Part number one, where we discuss the ditches and the high parts of the field, that they do not get cheshbon together with the rest of the field. Four shittos, what that means, that they don't get cheshbon together with the rest of the field, but on some level they are considered separate and apart from the rest of the field. But then we discuss some of the just simple halachos, that it's one pundion and a sela per year remaining until the yovel, and it has to be paid in one lump sum, and that when there's a fundamental difference between when the bailim is poda and when anybody else is poda. If the bailim is poda, he's got to add an extra chomesh. Anybody else is poda does not have to add an extra chomesh. That was the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tana, kor zera velo kor tevua. When we say that the area where you can plant a zera chomer saorim, so that's a kor of zera, not a kor of tevua. Meaning the measurement of a kor is how much seed, a kor of seed, an area of field where you would use a kor of seed to plant, not a kor of grown grain, which would obviously be a much smaller field. If the measurement were the fully ripened, matured grain, so that's obviously much larger than the seeds. So a quart of seed would be spread out over a much, much larger area. Mapolis yad v'lo mapolis shvarim. And we're assuming that the seeds are planted by people putting down the seeds, not by the oxen putting down the seeds. What they used to do, Rashi describes a system where they would tie bags onto the backs of oxen and have small holes in the bottoms of the bags, and the oxen would walk around. But it would, you know, wouldn't get perfectly, the seeds would not get perfectly evenly distributed. It wasn't the perfect system, but it was just easier in terms of less work for the person himself. But certainly you'd have to use more seeds to cover the same area when you're using an ox than when a person were doing it more evenly. So we do it based on Mapolis Yad, not based on Mapolis Sharm. A kur of Zera done by hand. Tani Levi, we're not talking about we don't measure the zera based on a very thick number, a thick amount, nor a very thin amount, meaning not a very thick sprinkling, nor a very thin sprinkling, a normal sprinkling of zera of seeds on the of zroim on the field. Fine, says Gemara. Hayisham dekayim amukim. If you had ditches that were 10 tefachim deep, so frak Gemara velikta shuban pinafshayu. Why don't they become kadosh on their own? So what does that mean exactly? So depending which of the four pshatim you go with in terms of what exactly happens with ditches that are 10 tefachim deep, you're going to have different explanations of what the kasha is of velikta shuban pinafshayu. So Rashi, the Rashbam and Tosos say that these slime are not measured and the dekayim are not measured with the rest of the field. They do have a din of hegdish, but you're poda them b'shavyam, and the rest of the field is based on zera chomer sarim b'chamishim shekel kesef. So Rashi explains the kasha of the Gemara. Therefore, is why are these nekayim not considered part of the kedusha of steachuza? Why aren't they considered, at least let them be considered like their own separate steachuza, which would also follow the cheshbon of chamishim shekel kesef? Why would you be poda these parts of the fields b'shavyam? Consider them miniature steachuza within a larger steachuza, and be poda, at least be poda them separately as different steachuza. That's the way Rashi understands l'shitaso. So says Gemara, v'chitema kivin to love a base core, love a kachi. So maybe you're going to say no, they're too small. They can't have kedusha because they're less than a base core. Vatanya sada matam lomer. Why does the pasuk say sada l'fishnemer zeruch hamersarim bechabish mishak kesef? I would only think if you're makdish in this way where it's a full zerachomer saorim. How do I know that even if you're makdish lesser amounts, an area of field where you could plant a much smaller amount of seeds, how do I know that that also follows this halacha of pidyon kafi cheshbon of chamishim shekel kesef for a given area? That's why the pasuk says sada. Bottom line, what do we see from there? That even when you're when you're makdish much smaller fields, you still have this din of pidyon. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So says Gemara. So say the same thing by the slaim and by these ditches in the field, that they should have a din of a separate steachluza, a very tiny steachluza, but a separate steachluza, they should have all the full dinim. Amar Bar Ukva Bar Chama, Hacha bin Akai Malayim Mayim, Delav bin Ezriya Ninu. Now we're talking about that they're full of water, and they can't be planted, and because of that, you can't plant in them. That's why they don't have the din of steachluza at all. Dekanami dektani dumyu deslaim shmamina. The fact that it says dumyu deslaim, just like slaim can't be planted, rocks you can't plant on. So to the ditches, we're talking about ditches that cannot be planted. It's not just a depress in the ground; it's actually filled with water, so there's no way you can plant there. So shmamina ihachi pachs mikanami. Well, if that's the case, why only if it's 10 tefachim deep is it not part of the larger field? Not part of the din of steachluza of the larger field of being makdish steachluza, even if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, if it's unplantable, so it shouldn't be part of the general field. So it says, no, that's just what we call the peaks and valleys of the field. That's not considered something separate from the field. If it's a very small little puddle, that's a puddle. It's not something to worry about. If it's a little rock that's not 10 tefachim high, so that's like the spine of the field. You know, that's a little something sticking out of the field. But it's all part of a natural looking field that it has all these different parts to it. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan v'nigra me'erkecha. Hikdisha shtayim v'shalosh. So he said that if you're makdish 2 or 3 years, that the Mishnah had said that if you're makdish 2 or 3 years before the Yovel, so it's one seller, one putnyon per each year remaining. So Tanu Rabbanan v'nigra me'erkecha af min ahegdish shemachla hegdish shano shtayim. That if what if you're makdish field in year 3, and then you want to be poda it in year 10? So how do you do the cheshbon based on 47 years remaining? So it's 47 slime and 47 pidyonim, or based on 40 years remaining? Do the years that Hegdish held on to the field, do those get subtracted from your pidyon? So that's what we're dashing, that v'nigra merkecha af min ahegdish, even the years of Hegdish get subtracted from your pidyon, and you only have to be poda based on the years remaining now until Yovel, not based on the years that were remaining at the time that you were makdish it. Shemachla hegdish shano shtayim inami loachla l'shayisa l'fanav, whether Hegdish used the field or not, nosin selu pidyon l'shano, you give a selu pidyon for each remaining year. V'mamar hareini nosin, but if a person says, I'm giving something, I want to give it in a payment plan, I don't want to give it in one lump sum, it's too bad, you have to give it in one lump sum. Tan Rabbanan, minayin shemamru baylam harein nosin dvar shana b'shana, shein shomalem. How do I know that if the baylam wants to develop a payment plan, we don't listen to him? Tam lomar v'chishav lo hakohen es hakesef, ad she kesef kulo ke'echad, that the whole kesef has to be all in one spot. Echad baylam v'echad kol adam, and that's true both by the baylam and by anybody else. What's the difference between the Bailam and anybody else when it comes to the Pidyon? So the difference is, as we said, that the Bailam is going to have to add a Chomesh. Anybody else does not add a Chomesh. Fine, next Mishnah. Hikdisha v'gaala. Let's say you're makdish a field, and then you yourself are goal the field. You buy it back. So it doesn't leave your hands at yovel. Now it's as if you were never makdish it. It's your family ancestral area, and therefore you get to keep it. By yovel, it stays in your family. It stays by you. Gaala b'no. But let's say you're makdish your field, and your son is goal the field. Yotzila aviv b'yovel. By yovel, it goes to the father. Now, typically speaking, if you're makdish steachluza and you are not goel it, somebody else is goel it, it goes to the kohanim at Yovel. When you yourself are goel it, you get to keep it. By a ben, the ben is somebody else. He's not you, but he's very close. So there's a special din by a ben that instead of going back to the kohanim, and ben doesn't get to keep it, even though he was the one that's goel it, and it doesn't go to the kohanim, it goes back to the father, it goes back to the original owner. Gala acher o echad me'akrovim v'gala miyado. Let's say someone else was goelit and then you bought it from them, or another relative was goelit and you bought it from them. Yotzal kohanim yovel. It still goes to the kohanim by yovel. Gala echad mina kohanim v'arei tachas yado. Let's say a kohen was goel the field 25 years into the past yovel. A kohen, someone was makdish the field 5 years in. 5 years later, a Kohen comes and buys and is goelit for the rest of the time. Now comes Yovel. What about that Kohen? Does he get to keep it? So lo yomar, the Kohen should not say, hol vi yotzel the Kohanim by Yovel, since anyway it's supposed to go to Kohanim by Yovel. And guess what I am? I'm a Kohen. V'arei tachas yadi. It's in my possession right now. So arei shali, let me keep it. No, we don't say that. It goes, we take it away from him, and it gets divided up amongst all of the other Kohanim evenly. So says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. When it says if he doesn't redeem the field, who's the he? If the Bailim doesn't redeem the field. If he sells the field, who's the he? Gizbar. The Gizbar sells the field. To another man. What does it mean? If the Gizbar sells the field to another man, that's when it's going to go to Kohanim at Yovel. That's if it's sold to another man, but not to the Ben. So that's a special drasha. Meaning, had it not had that phrase, so then we just would have thought anyone other than the Bailim himself, it's always going to go back to the Kohanim at Yovel. But because it says, it means like an outsider. If you sell it to an outsider, then it goes back to Kohanim at Yovel. But if the Gizbar sells it to an insider, then it goes back to the original Bailim. So who is an insider besides the man himself? It's got to be his son. That's the drasha. So doesn't mean l'achar v'lo l'ben. How do you know that the ben is the insider? Maybe the insider is the brother. Meaning we know the pasuk is telling me that there is one guy who's considered an insider, who if he's the one that's goal of the field, at Yovel it's going to go back to the Bailim, not to Kohanim. But who told you that that one guy is the son? Maybe that one guy is the brother. No, it says ish, so we know that there's somebody else that you might have thought is an insider who's really an outsider. Hamani mekayim acher. So who is the genuine insider? V'lo acher v'lo leben. It's got to be that it's the son. Umari isa l'rabos esaben l'holzi asach. We didn't really answer anything just now. All we showed is that there's only one guy who can buy the field back, and it's and who's not the Bailim, and it's still going to go back to the Bailim at Yovel. We didn't. The pasuk though never gave any indication that one guy should be the son and not the brother. The pasuk gave an indication that it can only be one guy. That there is no second guy. It's only one guy. But it never said anywhere in the pasuk who that one guy is. So how do we know that it's the son who's considered the insider, is considered close enough to the father, that when he buys it back, it's going to go back to the father at Yovel, and it's not the brother? So Marba Ani Haben, we include the Ben as the insider, Shekein Kam Tachas Aviv, Liyido Levit Ivri. The Ben takes his father's place, if let's say by two halachos, by Yido and by Eved Ivri. What's a Yid? If the father buys an Amma Ivriya, and he wants to be Miyayid her, to be Mekadish her, to make her a wife, he doesn't have to be Mekadish her with other money. We can use the money that he used to purchase her as the Kesef Kiddushin. So he can give her to his son under the same premise. So the son takes the place of the father as well. He has the same, he's in the father's shoes in terms of Yair, in terms of marrying that Amma Ivriya. And the same by an Eved Ivri. Let's say a man dies and he leaves an Eved Ivri. So an Eved Ivri does not go be Yerusha. If let's say he doesn't have any children, so his brother does not Yarshin his Eved Ivri. His brother cannot have the Eved Ivri work for him. But a son is Kamtachas Aviv for an Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri does work for the son. So those two halachas, you see that the son fills the father's shoes. Rabbi Nachum Zemba points out in Tshuvah Zera Avram, Simon Chav Gimel, O Zayin, that you see from here that the din of an Eved being given to the son is not a din of Yerusha. If it were a din of Yerusha, then if there were no son, the brother would yarshin the Eved Ivri. The din of the Eved being handed down is a different din. There are tzvei dinim when it comes to a son. There's din of Yerusha, which are general dinim that apply to other yarshim as well. And then there are dinim of kam tachtav, that a son, being the extension of his father, is the one who fills his father's shoes. It's as if he is his father. That's what Minchas Chinuch writes, whether the Mainaf Kamina, whether it's din of Yerusha, or din kam tachtav. Let's say a man has two sons, a Bechar and a Pashut. So an Eved Ivri, a man dies with an Eved Ivri. Does the Bechor get a Pishnayim in the Eved Ivri more than the Pashut? So Minchas Chinuch writes, in Mitzvah Mem Beis, also Yud Gimel, absolutely not. This is a din of Kam Tachtav. This is not a din of Yerusha. When it's a din of Yerusha, you get Pishnayim. This is a din of Kam Tachtav. Rav Shechter discusses this in Eretz HaTzvi, in Siman Lamed Aleph. These, he explains a lot of halachos based on this chilek. He says, first of all, the fact that he first explains this halacha, that an Eved Ivri is Oved Es HaBen, even though an Eved Ivri is not Nitfas B'Mechira and not Nitfas B'Yerusha. The Gemara says, B'Ferish in Kiddushin, that there's no Yerusha of an Eved Ivri. So if there's no Yerusha of an Eved Ivri, what's going on over here? So you see that what's going on over here is the din of Kam Tachtav. He says, this also explains the sheet of Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. In Baba Basra, Daf Kufir Alf Amar Aleph, Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav writes that Nichse Ya'em, a Ben and Bas, are Yorish Ke'echad. Now, normally the halacha is that when there's a din of Yerusha, if there's a son and a daughter, the son gets Yerusha, and the daughter doesn't get Yerusha. But by Nichse Ya'em, says Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav, the son and the daughter split evenly. Why? Because it's only by Parshas Nachlas Krovim that we have a chiddush that a ben is kodem lebas, but a Yerusha that's based on bro karado avua, based on kam tachtav, Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav would hold there's no chiluk between a ben and a bas, and he obviously holds nichseya aim is a din of kam tachtav. It's not a din of Yerusha, and that's why it would be no chiluk between ben lebas according to Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. He has other rayas that by nichseya aim it's separate, that it's a din of kam tachtav. Anyway, so says Gemara, but how do you know still that the son is the insider? The brother also has some special things that don't apply to any. Anybody else? I would think to include the brother, because a brother takes his brother's place. He's also kam tachas his brother when it comes to doing yibum. So how do you know that the son is better? So klum yesh yibum el makam shein ben hayesh ben and yibum, because the brother can only do yibum when there's no son. So it shows you that it's only when there's no son there that the brother takes that special place of kam tachtav. So that's why the son's kam tachtav is a more powerful one. Says the Gemara, why do you even need that? V'tepikli d'hachatati v'achada. We had two reasons that make the ben special, and only one reason that make the av special. There's yiud and Eved Ivri on the ben side. The ach, all you had is yibum. So why do you even need to say that the detail that yibum only kicks in when there is no ben? So says the Gemara, mishum d'Eved Ivri mehay pir chanami hu d'nafkalei. We only know that the son gets the Eved Ivri and not the brother, based on this exact line of reasoning, that the brother only does yibum when there is no son. So that we don't have a 2-to-1 without that svara. That svara gives us the 2-to-1 argument. So klum yesh yibum elu makam shein ben. It's all based on that statement, on that svara of that there's no yibum when there's no son there. Now the Gemara is going to ask a series of 3 shailas. Boy Rabba, relating to pidyon of steyachuza. Boy Rabba Ravua. Maushe tamit sada la aviha. Kiven del inin yibum benu bas ki adadi patri mukma, or dilma kiven del inin nachla bas mukam ben ki achar damya lo mukma. Our Mishnah said that if a son is poda a field and then yovel comes, the field goes to his father. What if a daughter is poda a field and then yovel comes? Does the field go to the father at yovel? So he says toot stadim to the shayla. Since by yibum the ben and the bas are the same, meaning a man doesn't do yibum on his brother's wife if his brother had a daughter, just like he doesn't do yibum on his brother's wife if his brother had a son. So since by yibum a ben and bas are the same, they both pater from yibum. So maybe the daughter should have that same kind of koach to be pulled to the field and then get it back to her father at yovel. Or maybe no. Maybe since by Yerusha, a ben is clearly different than a bas, so she doesn't have a din of a ben, she has a din of an acher. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, kol shu acher b'makom ben, v'hanam b'makom ben ki acher damya. Anybody b'makom ben is considered an acher. Anybody means anybody. Even a daughter b'makom ben is considered an acher. Second shayla, unrelated, by Rabbi Zera, isha mi mamid lasada. Bal mokum la shekin yarsha, odilma ben mokum la shekin notel baroi kabamuchsuk. What about who would be mamid a sada for a woman? Let's say the woman was one that was makdish the field. Do we assume, meaning by a man is makdish the field, so the son is can get the field back for him by being poded, then it will go back to the father at Yovel. What about a woman? Who would take care of that for her? Would that be the husband who has the right to do that? Is he the one that's considered the insider? Because after all, he's the one that yarshins her. Or is it her son that's considered the insider? Because the son can yarshin mentioned Baroi Kibamuchsak, even stuff that she hasn't yet actually received, but it's just Roy to come to her, where a husband cannot. So Teiku, the Gemara leaves that on herself. Third Shaila. If you're maxed less than 2 years before Yovel, what's the din of it going to Kohanim? Meaning someone comes and redeems it with Chamishim Shlemi, with 50 full Shekel Kesef, so does it go back to Kohanim at Yovel? Some of them might take, why wouldn't it? What would be any different? You were Makdish and Poda, who cares how much you paid for the Pidyon? Why wouldn't it go back to the Kohanim? Basket on low, is it that you want a darshan that when does the pasuk say it goes to Kohanim? Only when v'nigra me'erkecha, when you're doing based on the cheshbon, but when you're paying the full 50 shekel, then it doesn't go to Kohanim. Adrabim, lo yugal asada v'yasada b'tzeisu b'yovel. V'aynami, bas gula hi. Pasuk also says that it goes to the Kohanim when there's gula. So over here it is gula. So that's a non-starter. Of course it goes to Kohanim. Gola, echad min Kohanim. So we said if one of the Kohanim was goal of the field, he can't taina, look, I'm a Kohen, I should get to keep it at Yovel. No, it's got to be split up with all the other Kohanim at Yovel. So Tan Rabbanon, the Kohen Tia Achuzaso, Matam Alom, or what is the pasuk teaching me? Minayin l'sadash yotzi l'kohanim b'yovel, v'gala echad min ha-kohanim, minayin shlo yomar hol v'yotzi l'kohen aray tachas yadi v'tei shali. How do I know that if a Kohen was goel the field sometime during the Yovel, that at Yovel he can't say, look, anyway, it's supposed to go to Kohanim. I'm a Kohen, so why don't we just give it to me? V'dinu b'shalachir manizoch b'shalatzmi l'kol shkein. And really, it's a kalvachomer. If somebody else's field were redeemed, I would get a piece of it. So kalvachomer, my own field, I should be able to keep the whole thing. Tamalom, what do you mean, I should be able to keep the whole thing? Why should he be able to keep it? Why is that a kalvachomer? Daya labamin adin, lios kanidon. Very strange kalvachomer. Meaning, so if it was someone else's field, I'll get a chelek. So, okay, so get a chelek. You will talk and get a chelek. So, tamalomar achuzaso, achuza shalo, veinza shalo. This is not his. It's not his achuza. It's not his family plot. Hakei said, yotzit mitachas yado, umischalek eslach v'kohanim. So, we take it from him and it gets divided up amongst the other kohanim. So that's what happens. I guess let's read the Mishnah. Higia Yovel v'lo nigala. What if Yovel comes and no one ever redeemed the field? It's just sitting there in Yovel's property. So Akonim nechnasan l'tochav v'nosan samed of Rabbi Yehuda. The Akonim come and they pay for it, and they get the field. Then they could divide it up, but they got to pay for it. Rabbi Shimon omer nechnasan v'lo nosan. No, they just get the field. They don't have to actually pay for it. Rabbi Lazar omer lo nechnasan v'lo nosan. They don't even get the field at all. They not only do they not get it for free? Even they don't even get to pay for it and take the field. El nikre sad betushin ad yovel hasheni. It's considered a forsaken field until the next yovel comes. What happens when the next yovel comes? Higia yovel hasheni v'lo nigala. When the next yovel comes and still no one was ever goal of this field, nikreis retushe retushin ad yovel hashlishi. It's called a doubly forsaken field until the third yovel comes. Liolam einu kohanim l'chasan l'tocha ad sheyigalena ach. But bottom line is, Kohanim never get it until the next Yovel comes. So we said that that if Yovel comes and the Kohanim were not Goel, the first Shita was, Rabbi Yehuda held, that they are Nichnas L'Tocha and they do pay the money. Rashi and the Rav understands that the money is Chamishim Shekel Kesef. And the Magen Mishnah thinks that's Pshat in the Rambam as well. However, the Mishnah Lamelech says that he thinks Pshat in the Rambam is that the money that they pay is the actual value of the field. And he says it has to be that way. Because what if it's not worth 50 shekel kesef? So then you're going to leave the field abandoned? Why would a Kohen ever want to redeem it? So it's got to be that they pay the actual value of the field. Okay, we'll pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.